And this person may be listening. P.S. I watched the Mac show for the guests. The drunken swearing host is too much to take some weeks. Thought it was great.
Oh, I've only got one comment for that. Cheers. I've never done this show drunk in my life. It's the Mac show.
That was just Santa.
Yeah, no. Oh, yes. It's the Mac show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week's Macintosh news. We're waiting on Greeny, which is why we're a tad late. And, of course, I think we're going to be waiting till the very end for Greeny because success may have gone to his head a little bit. Having posted his second podcast in a year, he's now at number one in the iTunes charts for tech news in the UK. Bastard.
Told you.
Bastard. So, to fair point, thank you to everyone who unsubscribed and resubscribed, because we're number eight. So, I much appreciate that. Please keep doing that every week to keep us right up there at the top for technology and tech news, and we'll do our best to keep pushing out regular shows with me, the drunken host. drunken sweary host, even maybe.
Drunken sweary host.
Yeah, with the absence of Greeny, he may come, we never know. Top left, joining me to discuss it is the first person out of the box, Adam Christensen. How you doing, dude?
Good, how you doing?
Got up a bit late this morning.
There's been a little illness floating around here this past week, so I'm a little behind on a few things, but otherwise I'm fine.
Are you all right? You had a bit of a sniffle last week, didn't you?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it hit earlier. I'm clearing up.
Good man.
What I want to say.
Good man. Well, as long as you're well, that's good. Next to him, first appearance on the show, and I can't see it's going to be the last based on the pre-show. Doc Rock, how you doing, man?
Aloha. Good to be here. Even though you decided to wake me up at a cracking 4 o'clock in the morning in Hawaii, but it's all good. I normally get up this early for a Man U game. This time I don't have to cry.
Good man.
You won't have to cry. You might by the end of this thing.
I mean, they've been the best team in football for like the last 12 years. So I got to ride my little horse. And now this year they suck super bad. So I cried about as much as David Moyes, which basically, you know, me and you wouldn't understand. But most other people will be like, what is he talking about?
Well, he crying desperately because he only walked out with 5 million quid, which is like $7.5 million. I mean, honestly,
this is true. I'll take that job and lose that job real quick.
See, right. Wind Rider in the chat room saying this is the British Drunk Sweary Network. That's not a rebadge. It was that to start with, mate. Next to Doc is Kelly. How you doing, girl?
Hey. Good, how are you?
Are we going to kiss and make up?
Oh, of course. We always do.
I edited it this morning.
Okay. Okay, I have to ask Doc, though, isn't there some clever Hawaiian phrase for stupid o'clock?
No. I'm sure there probably is, but I have to think
about it. How can that be?
Well, because we get up and it's, you know, we have dawn patrol when you get up early for surfing, but that's not until about 6. So we party hard here. So, yeah, I don't think most people don't get up this early.
That's a beer here.
6 a.m.
Yeah, I was going to say morning is the word for stupid o'clock in Hawaii.
Well, of course, stupid o'clock in Hawaii is normally wake and bake, but that's a whole different story.
I just found out there's a delivery service out of L.A. for that stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Of course there is.
Yeah.
Never mind. I don't know why I'm surprised. In Portland, they're going to end up doing that on bikes once it's legal here, I'm sure.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
I have no idea what
Having lived in Portland, I totally get what
Where's Greeny
about.
When you need it? I'm bloody surrounded. By people who are speaking a different language.
And you'd like to invite Greeny into that discussion?
Yeah, that's a good point.
What is the name of this network?
British Tech Network, yes. It's basically me in the red coat holding off all you buggers in the blue coats. That's it, pretty much. And
I'm rocking my Three Lions shirt today. I'm on your side.
Man, the honorary Brit. There we go. Dot Rocky.
And if I do the accent, though, Paul always says that I sound more Irish than anything else, so I won't try it right now.
No, come on. Greeny is always doing impressions on this show that are shit. So go ahead, mate, because you're company if you get it wrong.
No, it just comes out randomly. So
All of
a sudden, I'm standing around, and I'm like, talking like the boy like Wayne Rooney right here. I will have to get on his show and give a couple free things on me mind.
Oh, that's not bad.
Not bad.
That's all right. I'll go with that. It slipped a little here and there, but that was pretty good.
Wait till somebody's after his lucky charms.
Well, wait till
if they let Dick Van Dyke get away with it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is significantly better than Dick Van Dyke.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm not having anything else. Yes,
and Greeny.
it's a better English accent than Greeny by definitely. Chris in the chat room, Greeny does a great impression of a complete blithering idiot. Ian Lewis says you should have listened to Kelly a long time ago and gotten one password.
Yes, he should have.
Okay.
Just as a general rule, I just want to put this out there for Ian Lewis and everybody else. Like, things are a lot better in the world if you just do what I say. I just need to put that out there. Doc Rock can tell you that this is true.
I wasn't going to doubt it, not one second.
See?
Is Ewan still using his pet's name with threes for the E's as his passwords?
Oh, that's right. Yeah. And G's, and sixes for G's. That's exactly right. And nines for lowercase G's. Windrider.
The chat room says Doc's English accent's better than Will's.
Yep, Windrider's already given a vote, and Bronwyn says she's still half awake. She's in Washington. It's like 11 o'clock in the morning there, woman.
Yes, good Lord.
Jesus. Right, the week in Mac. Well, actually, there's never usually much to talk about, but it seems that you won't be buying your Beats off Dr. Dre anymore. You'll be buying them off Dr. Tim. He's decided to buy the most expensive set of earphones on the planet.
They're not, though.
They're only $250 down at Walmart, but he thought, no, $3.2 billion would be the asking price for a decent set of them. Well done, Tim.
Okay, now, before we get too far down the headphone conversation, I really do want to ask this.
Go on.
Is it that he wants the headphones, or is it that he wants the music service? Because we keep hearing rumblings over the last, I would say, 3 to maybe 4 months, basically since after Christmas. We keep hearing rumblings about how the record companies or the music industry isn't happy with what iTunes is doing, is really not happy with iTunes Radio. Like, is it possible that what they wanted out of this was, they're like, yeah, y'all can keep your Beats headphones. You know, you've got a red cable, we've got a white cable that, you know, we're just going to agree to disagree. But what they really wanted was the streaming service. And are they going to maybe rebrand Beats Music, which apparently people really enjoy as far as curation of playlists? Are they going to just rebrand that as iTunes Radio?
I've got my own theory.
And I'm not saying that as a crazy theory. I really want to know if that's what it was, because I don't think it's the headphone.
I've got my own theory on this.
I was going to say, I don't think they can, Kelly, though. That's the thing. I mean, this came up before when they bought, and I have to look this up, and I haven't done it for my show yet.
When do we ever look anything up on this show?
Which one?
Jesus.
Say it again.
Was it Lala?
Lala.
Yeah, when they bought Lala, right? That licensing stuff doesn't transfer when you do an acquisition like that. As far as I understand, I'm no expert on this stuff, but I mean, I don't think that helps them from that standpoint.
Well, the thing with Lala that I think of is that with Lala, the whole point of it was you set it up on your computer and then your iTunes library is accessible to you, whatever other computer you're on. And iTunes Match does that.
Right.
After a fashion.
That didn't transfer, right? I think they had to go renegotiate all those deals.
Right. So, but I'm curious if that was the thing that they wanted. And maybe that's why $3 billion with a B for a headphone company is maybe what they were really buying was the streaming service. And I'm just putting that out there. I know nothing about this one way or another.
You're talking about the technology, just the infrastructure and the software and the hardware.
I have a different theory on that.
Got it.
What's yours?
All right, so you go into your average record company, and even though you're Apple, and you come in swinging a pretty, you know, decent sized bat. My hand gestures had meant bat. Dang it! I'm sorry. I'll keep them under the table. I just realized I saw myself on camera. You come in swinging a really big sized bat. It says John Holmes on the side. I think
Adam's getting whole new letters of complaint, and I'm not in them. Thanks, man.
Hey,
you're my bodyguard now.
Drunken Tech Sweary Network looks forward to your letters.
Would you take it? Would you take a PS for me?
Yeah, I'll take the PS. Postscript. So when the record companies aren't behaving properly and they're not doing what you want, Apple, Tim Cook is now going to be able to say, "Hey, don't make me get gangsta on your ass," and then he just going to like hit the little red B on the side, and Dre and the Minions from Compton will show up. Because if you saw the thing on the next web, you'll see that it was kind of funny, but I was like, wow, that Apple's not going to love that clip. But yeah, so Dre and the boys would show up and be like, hey, coming straight out of Compton, you better license that music.
See, now I think my theory is not a million miles away from what you're saying there, Chuck.
Yeah,
my theory is
it gives them a better strong arm, you know.
So
Dre has a lot of weight in the music industry.
Tim, you're right. Tim Cook's got this thing where you can bid to go out for lunch with Tim Cook. Remember?
Yeah.
And it got like $600,000 last year, and it's running again this year. Mm-hmm. The only way that Dr. Dre would get down and actually bother to go for lunch with Tim Cook is if Tim Cook paid him $3.2 billion. Because otherwise, everyone else in the neighborhood's going to be asking him, you went for lunch with Tim Cook?
Yeah. You know, most of the rich kids that were in with the hip-hop kids back when I was in school, they normally bought their way in. It cost them a lot of McDonald's. So it's very possible. Yeah. It's very possible.
I think there's a lot of elements to this. And I think, Kelly, you're right in terms of the streaming technology. I think the hardware thing actually is still even a good fit for Apple in terms of, I mean, they make accessories. Everybody knows their headphones suck. So if they can make some good headphones because of this acquisition,
but you don't need
better headphones.
Yeah. You don't need $3.2 billion acquisition to get some better quality for your headphones. I mean, Sennheiser.
No. But I'm saying there's multiple angles to this. So you've got the whole streaming music technology thing. You've definitely got, and I think Doc's hit the nail on the head. I think the biggest part of it is you get a team of people that is going to be better poised to be doing the deals that Apple needs to do with the music industry. And I think it's also why right after this story broke, we heard the story about Iovine. Is that how you say the guy's name?
Jimmy
Iovine. Being a consultant to Tim and Apple, which is something he sort of did for Steve Jobs back in the iPod days, right? He helped with some of the iPod marketing and the deals with, like, I think Bono and some of those deals that they did within the music industry.
Yeah, like the U2 iPod was partly Jimmy.
Yeah, exactly. So all that stuff combined, I mean, that might, $3.2 billion still seems like a lot to me.
That's steep.
But
yeah,
it's a steep price, but it may help on multiple levels. So maybe that's the angle that Apple's looking at when they're sort of pricing that.
What's the price of the top end earphones for Beats? Are they $300 plus? $360?
These right here are $400. And again, I'm going to let you know I got these for free. But the DJ ones go all the way up to $12. And that's the metal ones that you see everywhere. $1,200, yeah. And I gotta say, you know,
so I'm gobsmacked. That is an iPad Air. That's a MacBook Air even with a really good spec. So
it is an Apple purchase, though. You think about it.
You ain't got to sell a lot of those.
A lot of good high end products. So it is an Apple level purchase. It's not out of the wheelhouse for them to have an expensive set of headphones in their lineup. And true to form, I have said on record millions of times how crappy Beats are. Now,
you didn't get them free off Dr. Dre then.
But here's the thing. That was when they were made by Monster still. About a year ago, a little over a year and a half ago, when that breakup happened, the new Beats came out, and they're no longer produced by Monster. And these ones I got here, which are brand spanking new, they were free. These came from an Irish whiskey drinking contest, and I happened to win. So I won a pair of headphones. I don't know how that matches.
That's why they're green.
Yeah, that's why they're green. And it was the St. Paddy's Day thing. But these are actually pretty amazing. And I also just recently, someone gave me a pair of orange. I'm an orange fanatic, for those of you who don't know this yet. I have a pair of orange wireless ones, and those are pretty good. So they're much better than when they were Monsters. So don't mix the two together. It's like mixing Jaguar before it was a Ford and after it's a Ford. The Ford Jaguars suck. The earlier ones are okay.
Yeah. I went down to Staples this morning, which is like a Office Depot, and I wanted to get like
we got Staples.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we have Staples.
So I wanted to get like a clicker thing for presenting.
That was easy.
Yeah, they didn't have one. but I'm sitting looking at the headphones, and they don't do any of the Beats line, but they got some Sennheisers there, the HD 300s, I think, or something like the 350s, and I put them on, and I plugged them into my phone, and I just played some Will I Am down off Nokia Music just to see what it sounded like. The bass in it was unbelievable. They were fantastic headphones. And they were £79. They were $120. And they were fantastic headphones. And Monsters stuff's vastly overpriced. And Dr. Beat stuff is vastly overpriced for what it is. But people are buying it by the shed load. So
you go into an Apple, you go in an Apple store and look at their headphone, especially the over ear stuff. I don't think they sell headphones over the ear under $200.
They don't. The Bowers and Wilkins are like $300, and they're beautiful, but they're like $300.
Oh, I think the B&Ws are more. I think B&Ws are closer to five, if I remember correctly.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Jeez.
Whatever they are, it could be $300. It could be $3,000. I put them on my ears and go. And then I put them back because I can't justify headphones that cost more than my phone.
Yeah, well, if you
the smaller because that's where I use them the most.
The smaller B&W, and I messes people up because they think it's saying BMW, but it's B&Ws and Bowers and Wilkins. The P7s are $400. The P3s are like $199.
Headphone, I've got to say, I tweeted out the last year from HMV, which is a music store in the UK. It just sells DVDs, records. It's the Best Buy element of that kind of stuff.
And they had that in Japan when I went to school there.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, I tweeted out there's people in the headphone market. I want to have something that they're eating because whatever it is, they are high on what they think the price of these items are worth. I've got a set of Skull Candy in here. Oh, where are they? They're here. There you go. Mm-hmm. Set of Skull Candies. These things. And these are the ones that I use on the train. I have not got an in-ear microphone or an ear set of speakers that are any better than that I have ever tried. And they were £7.99. And they are the best in-ear phones I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Easily. And they've got a mic as well, so I can use them in my phone like a headset thing. So the audio market is on crack if it thinks that there's a set of microphones, a set of earphones that are worth £400 as a bog standard item. Reference headphones, I think that's been a bit of the king's new clothes in the audio industry for a long time, because you can get an awful lot of very good earphones that would work as reference phones. But they're stupid money, and you're still getting reference earphones in the UK for £600, and proper established ones, AEG, etc.
Great old PS1000 is $1,700, but as a person who's worn cans for a long time, I did radio for like 10 years, and I mucked around in the studio for a little bit, like I thought I knew what I was doing, and I have a pair of $8,000 Sony headphones that come in a wooden box.
I put them in a gold box.
They are absolutely amazing. It sounds funny. You have to hear them. They're absolutely amazing. Now, again, I didn't pay $8,000 for those. My family ran a Sony dealership, and we got them for blowing Sony equipment out of the box one year. So they were given as a present to my brother.
I'm glad you finished that statement, dude. Jesus Christ, I'm glad you finished that statement.
Yeah, that started out really... Wow.
Well, my bad.
We got those for blowing the chief executive. I would say...
That's right. Easily could have gone that way.
Yes, totally could have. But I will say that there's a big difference. And also, when we sold Bowers & Wilkins, for instance, B&W 800 speakers run about 12 grand a piece. So you're looking at 24 grand for the pair. And everybody would come in and say, oh, speakers are just speakers. Why would anybody buy something? And then I would just turn the amp up and they would go, oh, my God.
Yep. And that's why.
So if you have, honestly, and this is, I have no diss for people who don't have the ear to separate that. I'm like, you are a lucky son of a bee. Because if you have the ear for it, once you get a taste of it, it is very much like good crack. You'll be angry at yourself when you have something that doesn't sound as good as what you know it can be. And unfortunately, I got blessed with good ears. So, yeah, it sucks.
What the hell are you doing on this show then, dude?
I don't know. I really don't know.
He said, okay.
Yeah. Paul sent me a tweet, and he's like, hey, dummy, would you like to do that? And I was like, sure, I don't mind getting up that early in the morning, except for football. Not right, the brown one, but the round one.
You've already talked yourself into a second appearance. You can stop trying now.
No, but I tell people all the time, like, people's like, well, you know, everyone like me going around saying, oh, beats aren't that good, beats aren't that good. And other people say they love it. And I'm like, well, if you listen to EDM and you listen to hip-hop, the bass is so awesome that, of course, people are going to like it. But right. if you're listening to a little bit more classical, or you're like, you know, like us, we're trying to do a podcast, and the bass on a voice like mine, it's kind of irritating on the old beats. Like, it would drive myself crazy monitoring myself because it's so boomy But the new ones are great. And I would say best bang for the buck, if you don't want to spend more than 50, there is something known as that. Hold on. I don't want to mess this up. Audio Technica ATH M30s, $36. I think that comes out to 24 quid.
Dude, what's happened to your bandwidth? Are you downloading porn or something? Because it's you're like a watercolor.
What? You've suddenly gone 8-bit, sweetie.
You look like a watercolor.
What? Oh, that's dumb. I think that's going to be webcam settings being stupid. Because on webcam settings, when you switch off of Skype, the stupid program decides to readjust the camera. And I'm like, yeah, every other thing works fine except Skype. So somewhere between Microsoft and webcam settings, somebody needs to ask me. But anyway, Audio Technica ATH M30s. These are cheap but good if you have to buy a pair of like good sounding cans and don't want to look like a green headphone dish.
you sort your camera out, man. it looks awful. You look crystal.
I posted a link to those headphones in the chat, and the sticker price on them is $99 on the Audio Technica site. Just FYI.
Oh, what is it on Amazon? Is it around 36, right?
I'm looking now.
Audio Technica to make good stuff.
Definitely. Yeah, they do.
They get underrated all the time.
$39 and Prime available.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, you get some great headphones for very little money. You're saying so that's
the straight M30. The M30X is a $69 pair of headphones. Over the ear, not in ear. And that's still really reasonable for a pair of monitors if you need monitors for something. I think, though.
So. Fair enough.
Use the Adam, that everybody used.
Adam's gone horrible as well.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Kelly's fine. Adam's horrible.
What the heck?
Doc's horrible. Yeah, it's all breaking up and everything. And the chat room's saying that live stream's doing flips.
All right, hold on, let me see.
Yay.
Let me see if I can shut things down. I thought I shut everything down.
And I'm just trying to get...
The audio... So the Amazon... Amazon always redirects me to .com instead of .co.uk. So if somebody... in Ewan's neighborhood wants to go look up, it's Audio Technica M30, and the M30s are $40 US, and the M30Xs are $70 US. Which, like I said, is a nice price for a pair of over ear monitors.
Very good, very good.
It's actually considered the ATH M30s.
I don't know what's happened, but the internet has effectively crapped out of my ass because I'm just trying to... That link that you put in for the Audio Technica headphones, Kelly, I've just clicked it, and it still hasn't come up.
Weird. Yeah.
And I think it's on your end.
I think it's on my end, yeah. Video stopped entirely, apparently.
Oh, no.
So, I have no idea.
Oh, my gosh.
No idea.
On the Audio Technica site, it says authorized U.S. dealers and unauthorized online resellers. Huh.
£42.99 in the UK version of Amazon, says Russ.
Oh, thanks, Big Russ.
And there's the link.
And is that the M30 or the M30X? I think that might be an important distinction.
Live stream's back, apparently. So there we go. I've got to say, when live stream blips out, it's not us. It's people say, I'm just fine. And other people say, I've lost it. And other people say, they're just fine. And other people say, they've just lost it regularly. So I don't know what's happening. We need to sort live stream out. It's not the perfect service. I wish I hadn't paid $500 for it just yet. But I'd run out of my free trial from Macworld, and I hadn't had a chance to do anything here. So we'll get back to it. We'll sort it out, I promise. I do apologise if you're struggling at the minute. Okay, so the Nokia Finnish dude who was at Nokia, who does the Lumia photography stuff and who helped develop the Pure 808 41 megapixel sensor, which is now in the 1020, has moved to Apple. Now, Doc, if you don't know, I use a Windows phone, and I use the Windows 1020 because I'm a photographer by trade, and there is, without a doubt, this is probably one of the better compact camera images you can get, let alone a smartphone image. And I've been published in the London Evening Standard with this phone, with a picture from this phone. It's that good. So, Apple...
I just remember at Macworld when it crashed, that's all.
Did it crash?
Yes.
No, off the... Oh, that woman.
After dinner.
No, that Adam. Was... Making it crash sounds like I got a blue screen of death. What you're talking about is some dozy drunk bitch who dropped it from above her head.
You handed over your phone to a visibly drunk woman to take
yeah, but
a
I did get,
photo.
I did get the kudos when she dropped it on the floor that everyone went, and I said, it's all right, I'm fine.
Yes,
I'm
on we all did. And then the lovely Jeff Gamet said, see, Windows phones do crash. Which is why it was funny.
But I said, I'm on Gorilla Glass 3, whereas all you buggers are on Gorilla Glass 2, which is why there isn't a scratch on that at all.
Really?
Yeah, no, there's not a scratch on it, mate. There was absolutely zero damage from that dozy bint dropping it. There we go. And if women are going to write in and say I'm a misogynist again because that's derogatory to women, she was a dozy bint. I'm sorry. It's got nothing to do with women. It was her. There you go. This is the best phone on the market in a smartphone at the moment. It is easily... outstrips everything else. The iPhone is a pale comparison, significantly. And they've taken the bloke that made the phone. I think that's a marriage made in hell. And here's my thought process. Because Apple are obsessed with thinness. And the reason that this is the best camera out there is because it's got three lenses in there doing optical zoom. And it's thick. At the point that the camera is in the phone there, it is thick. It is uber thick. It is like 12 mil thick.
And Apple, keep in mind that when the first iPhone came out, people said, how is Apple going to sell any of that phone? It's huge.
No, but the Apple are obsessed with this idea of thinness. They keep coming out with this, it's 3.5 millimeters thin. They've changed the language of how they express thickness of the phone to thinness of the phone. They're never going to go back to letting some guy from Finland come in and say, do you know what? You've got to go back up to 15 mil thick if you want the best camera on the market. Whereas
you know,
Nokia had the balls to
though,
do it.
Proportionally, it would have to be, if all of the insistence on a larger screen is true, then with a larger screen, it's going to have to be a little bit thicker phone just for stability purposes, in my estimation. Again, this is just me talking, but I would think it would have to be a bit thicker. So maybe they'll listen to the guy from Finland. And if they don't listen to the guy from Finland, there's still the chance that he can do wonders with the camera constraints that they have now. That doesn't mean that, I mean, to me, either way, the iPhone camera is going to improve
so
dramatically,
you think,
whether it's...
Let me just translate here, then, Kelly. Mm-hmm. Are you suggesting that they may be not reinventing the wheel, but actually polishing the turd? You hesitated because you agree with me for once.
I've agreed with you a lot of times, and I don't know that polishing a turd is necessarily what's going to happen, but I don't know that reinventing the wheel is necessarily what's going to happen. That's what there's a chance that he's going to improve the camera that they have, but there's also a chance that if the screens are bigger, then the phones need to be a bit thicker. And if that's the case, then he's going to get the opportunity to do something cool inside the phone now that he has room, you know, those extra 3 millimeters or whatever, to actually pull it off.
Can I interject something here?
Can we just... No. Doc, are you there at the moment?
Go ahead, Adam.
Can you hear me?
We're not getting anything from anyone. I'm going to hang up your guys' calls and call you back, and I'll edit this bit out. Talk to you in a sec. That's clear. You're absolutely clear and crystal, Kelly. I have absolutely no idea why these guys have just turned to rat shit.
No, because usually I'm the one that sucks. So.
Yeah.
That's why I can't figure it out.
And we're back.
Are we, or is still just as bad?
No, I hear Adam.
Yeah, but you're a bit clippy, mate.
It's not spectacular, but it's better than what it was a minute ago.
You guys sound fine on this end. Like, I hear everybody fine other than Doc.
Oh, no, you sound great.
He's still crackly. Doc, are you there?
Comparatively.
Hello, Doc.
Come in, Doc Rock.
Come in, Doc. Can anyone DM Doc?
Ground control to Doc Rock Sean.
Major Doc.
Yeah. Let me text him.
Why does Skype bury the...
What's that noise?
It's like a, clicking, I think.
It's like a praying mantis eating its young.
I'm muted, so no, it's not me.
Oh, Doc's in. Yeah, hello, Doc.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like, I don't know what the hell's going on with this stupid thing. It was working fine, and then it just decided to be dumb.
Oh, okay, fair enough. No, we were just saying about old Apple hiring the guy, and I was saying that they are they going to reinvent the wheel or polish the turd? And Adam, you said, who cares?
No one cares. The thing is, what you're talking about, I get what you're talking about. And yes, your phone takes beautiful, beautiful images, and you're a professional photographer. The thing is like 99% of the rest of the world that has iPhones think their iPhones take awesome images already. And anything that Apple's going to do to improve them is going to be well received by their core customers.
Isn't this more about peer review then? So you're saying that they just want to do you want to see that they want to take on the competition, or do you see that they just want to improve what they currently have?
I think they just want to improve what they currently have. I mean, and as long as they're doing that, and as long as their customers are happy, it doesn't matter. Like, it doesn't matter that there's this outside contention. The same reason it doesn't matter that there's a whole bunch of people that want an open phone from Apple, or the same reason there's a whole bunch of people that want, you know, 2 gigabytes of RAM. Why do we only have one
Six
gigabyte of
screens.
RAM? Yeah. I mean, we can go on and on. There's a huge list of things. And at the end of the day, you know, Apple has said a long time ago, we make these kinds of products and these are who they're for. And that's all we really care about.
And you'll take
and
it and like it.
You're 100% correct. And the reason why I say that, if you look at almost any person out there taking selfies, or you look at the Instagram, right? You got the photographers, you got those like me who try to be photographers, and then you got the people that just take the drunkest, blurriest, crookedest pictures, but they happen to be 20 to 25.
They also happen to be Doc Rock.
Female, they have thousands and thousands and thousands of likes. And I'm like, how are you liking a picture that just doesn't even fit the standards of an old Instamatic 110 plastic, you know, so you turn it to the lady at the Photomax to go, oh, there's some great pictures that you took there. Like, those people are scoring because the level of what people consider photography now has absolutely changed. And I guess it goes to stand to the point where the message you're delivering is received by the people who need to hear you, then counts. Versus, you know, everyone having to be Ansel Adams, as it would have been back in the days of, you know.
Dude, I'm right with you there, because I've got to say, one of the things I react against is people taking their phone out in the street, taking a picture and calling it street photography. Like, it's this huge artistic concept.
What?
It's a piece of shit. It's a badly framed photo with no real subject and no real content, and you've called it that to make up for the fact that it's a piece of shit. And
that's dumb.
I cannot stand that. And I lost a follower over it because he retweeted something for someone that was a picture of a pencil that was lying on the sidewalk, and said, and it was hashtag street photography. And I went, there's nothing artistic about this. You've taken a picture of a pencil that's lying on the sidewalk. You haven't even put the pencil in a decent position. You haven't framed it right. You haven't cropped it well. It's not even exposed properly. How can it be a piece of street art for all of those things? And they said, well, whose pencil is it? What stories is it written? No. You would take a decent picture of the tip of the pencil if you were trying to talk about what stories it's written, with something in the background that enlightened you and made you think, oh, I wonder which of the people in the background dropped it, or something like that. You wouldn't take a picture from above at 90 degrees to a pencil line on a frigging sidewalk and call it art when it's not.
No, you have to put a bird on it.
I've got that out. I've had two nights now where I've got something out of my system. One with Kelly, and she suffered the result of that, and now another one there, which no one suffered the result of, so there we go.
No, that's it. No, I'm absolutely with you on that, because you always say I never agree with you, and I agree with you 100% on that.
Cheers,
that
Kelly.
That isn't street photography. This is not what it is. This is not how it works. What I will say about the whole iPhone camera thing is that a lot of people will just care that the camera is better.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
I need to upgrade because I take a lot of pictures of my kids, dog, lunch, whatever. And, you know, and I've had this phone for 2 years. And so now I want to upgrade. And part of why I want to upgrade is the better camera. When I first got my iPhone 4. I think it was when I got my 4. It was when I got my 4S. When I got my 4S, I wanted to get the 4S. I launched a campaign to get a 4S because what I was going to do was just buy one from somebody because I didn't want to cash in my upgrade ticket just yet. And I bought my 4S because I wanted an upgrade in the camera because I use the camera for a lot of stuff. Now, is it art? Am I going to print it out at gigantic size and put it on one of my awesome orange walls? No, I'm not going to do that. But I wanted a better camera. And part of why I was excited about getting my 5S was because low light photography, which is something I end up somehow doing a lot of, is
if you hang out in those kind of places, Kelly, that's what happens.
Disneyland.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of the other place. Sorry.
No, it's for taking pictures like inside rides without having to use a flash because you're not supposed to use flash photography.
Oh, I thought so. Rides was in inverted commas. I'm sorry, girl.
No. At attractions, at Disneyland, like when you go inside, it's usually very dimly lit. And so having the ability to take a good photo in low light was something that was very important to me. So that was something that I wanted. Now, am I going to print that out? No. Am I going to end up quoted somewhere with a photography of with something, some picture I took on my iPhone on the front page of the Oregonian here in town? Probably not, because I'm not Ewan. But I think there is something to that for people for whom that's a thing. Like, I know people who email pictures on their phones all day to people who look at them on their phones or on their iPads. And having a camera that does that beautiful retina screen justice, I think, is probably important to regular folks. I mean, look at, whether you like it or not, look at Flickr, and like the number one camera phone on Flickr is the iPhone.
Yeah, I was just going to say that about the camera thing. And that's really pretty is I like taking pictures, and I'm also in a place of taking low light pictures a lot being in the club. And even what happened with the 5S compared to all the other phones prior was a real big deal as far as taking pictures at nighttime. And then I went and bought this stupid thing, which is, no, I shouldn't say stupid thing, because this thing is amazing. This is the Sony QX100.
Yeah, that's the add-on thing, isn't it, that goes in the front? I've got one of those.
Yeah, this thing is pretty amazing. And I can see that even if Sony guys have been making cameras forever, decided to make something like this, because everyone realizes the mobile photography thing, like it or not, is a real deal. It's here to stay. So it's going to be a thing. We might start to make it better.
The chat room is saying that the stream screwed, but that's what you've just seen of Doc there is what I saw as well as. So
No, I mean, on my end, it's dead, and I'm probably breaking up. I've got, well, I'm assuming.
Because Kelly's
on my end, it froze on me making a dumb face.
Yeah, Kelly making a dumb face, and it's just spiraling her face.
That's totally what just happened. Live. Chat room says live stream has a bad case of the Justins. Thank you, Ryder.
So the one thing I have to say really, really good about live screen. Yeah, I said it correct.
Live screen. Live screen. That's it.
Kelly said it's going to happen. Damn you, Kelly. But what I have to say about live stream is that it has made me appreciate Google Hangouts. Google, I will never bitch at you again, you slutty.
Truly. Dude. Preach.
Because your ugly little sister live stream.
There might be a bit of... one of the problems I've got is trying to get the exact settings that I need for Wirecast to work on the Mac Pro, and then broadcasting out from here. I'm not suggesting that it's all the fault of live stream. Some of it might be me on resolutions and stuff, but I've done my damnedest to make sure it's all 720, so it's not doing any reprocessing or anything like that. But the real thing that cripples us, is the amount of the VNCs that come in from the four machines running Skype. It's horrific. So, but don't worry,
awesome,
because the new studio will sort all of that out, and that's going to happen next week. As soon as I finish this podcast, everything's being broken down and everything's being turned through 90 degrees, and all of that will be green screen there. And
that's awesome.
It'll be, well, no, it'll probably...
Are you pressing the youngins into service?
Well, I might let them out from under the cupboards under the stairs, yeah, maybe. Maybe.
I love the fact that you said it started 390 degrees. That's awesome. That's like something I would say.
Good man. I don't think I said that, but okay, that's fine. I want to say thanks to people who've left reviews in iTunes, because that's another thing. If you look at your position in iTunes, I think reviews is a big part of where you sit. And we've got quite a few to go through, actually. First one's from Shembrig, who's just put down, great show, very funny, informative. Either way, I watch or listen to it every week. Thanks very much, man. Colin59 says, amusing and informative, and I don't even have a Mac. Good lad. Fart. That I'd have picked a better name than that, dude. Fart says, I love the show and enjoy listening to it, but that intro music makes me want to throw my phone against the wall, especially since it goes on for so long. Other than that, it's great. Thanks. I'll shorten the music. We've got that in hand. Don't worry.
Maybe we need a new theme. This is the British Tech Network Mac Show.
That won't be it. and Cycle Stew 72 says, this podcast is brilliant. I've been listening now for quite a long time, and I've never been disappointed. It's like listening to a bunch of mates in the pub. That's the vibe we go for. Ewan is a great host, and Will Green is never less than outstanding. It's informative, doesn't take itself too seriously, and most of all, it's lighthearted and fun. And Dude Man LA, he's from the United States, funny enough, says, thanks for your great coverage of Macworld. I couldn't go, but you guys did an amazing job. I felt like I was right there walking around the show floor with you. That was really cool. Kelly, Jeff, nice. And Adam are great guests as well. There you go.
Aw. Thank you, Dude Man.
Very kind. Dude Man. Dude Man LA, he's the one that wrote in saying...
I'm still stuck on fart. Yeah.
Well, it's not. There's no R's in it. It's F-A-A-T, F-A-A-T. So that's fart. A double A is R. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. So fart. There we go.
It's a fart. But you know, in Chinese, it's like 8-fart-fart-8 is like a good luck thing. So I don't know.
Oh, maybe he's a Chinese guy and he's doing the fart and forgot the 8-bit.
Yeah.
You're providing the 8-bit, though, this week.
We've got 8-bit.
Yeah, we got 8-bit. Hey.
It's not my fault. Large Gantic. My bandwidth is amazing here.
Oh, Nintendo. Oh, this is...
Bless
their
hearts.
This is a good story.
I don't know where we're going with this, but bless their hearts all the same.
Nintendo unveils new web-based service for smartphones. As part of its latest financial results briefing, Nintendo's unveiled a new web-based service optimized for smartphones could coincide with the upcoming release of Mario Kart 8. The web app will allow all users to view gameplay videos and other information as well. This is... I looked at this, and I got to say, when I saw the story initially, I'm like, Nintendo have actually grown a brain cell, and they're going to make sure that Nintendo games are available on iOS. And they're not.
Nope.
Jesus.
Of course not.
Rice Nintendo.
And it's me. It's all because of me. I'm the one that keeps begging them. I'm not going to spend $100 on a DS. You could get $20 from me for Super Friggin' Mario Brothers. You could get $20 from me for Legend of Zelda, and I know my phone has the horsepower to handle it, but as it is, you're going to get $0 from me because I'm not buying your hardware, and I'm not going to, and I can't buy the games.
Well,
my heart is broken, Nintendo.
And do you know what's funny? Is literally, and I'm going to put this as a gamble, just in case it happens, and if it happens, I want to be able to look back at this show and say that I said it would happen.
Do it.
Say it quick before your stream breaks up.
They could double the revenue or the money back or fix the damage done by the Wii U in about 8 hours after they release Zelda and Mario, you know, what's the word? Legacy, not lineage. Oh God.
Links.
You know, the title.
Yeah.
Legacy.
That company, you know.
Links Awakening.
Franchise. They did the Zelda franchise and the Mario franchise on iOS. They would make back all the money lost on Wii U. And about another gajillion of money lost on Wii in about 8 hours. So,
and you know what? People keep buying those games and don't complain. This is like the only time I've ever seen anybody like, oh, we went from the GameCube to the Wii, and now I can go into the marketplace and slap down cash to get all those original 8-bit games. Totally going to do it, and I'm not going to bitch. And people do it. And like Mario and Zelda are like the only times I've ever seen anybody buy a title again and not complain. Like that's the only time. So people would do it. People would do it on their phones or on their iPads. Like, yeah, I would, my hand to God, I would pay $20, but that's just Kelly. I would happily pay $5 for like 3 or 4 Mario games in a bundle or a couple of Zelda games or a couple of like, when they did the Game Boy only releases, back when it was only the Game Boy and it didn't have any other names, straight up Game Boy, Link, games, I would pay $5 to get those.
This is the press release. This layout for the smartphone is really exciting. This web service will enable more people to easily watch Nintendo's official videos, view rankings for games, watch videos that their friends have shared, and videos of tournaments in which they've participated. And there's a bit at the bottom where it says, Nintendo President Satoru Iwata acknowledged that the company would consider a new business structure that involves smart devices. That's not a new business structure that involves smart devices.
It's new to them.
Well, yeah, but it's ultimately a fail. It's awful. It's awful, awful, awful. I feel really sorry for them, because whichever dickhead's leading the ship is going to sink it.
Well, I can't believe that Reggie Fils-Aimes is not trying harder, like, to push this in Japan, because he's the president of Nintendo US. And I have a really hard time believing that he is not pleading with Japan on a regular basis, please do this. Because I don't know anybody. And I know the plural of anecdote is not data, but whenever Nintendo comes up and people talk about it, and I say things like, I would pay $5 to play Super Mario Brothers on my phone, every single person I have ever talked to about that says, yeah, man, me too. And then they always add something. And I'd pay $5 for Zelda. And I'd pay $5 for Castlevania. I'd pay $5 for Kid Icarus. I'd pay $5 for Metroid. Like, olden 8-bit Metroid. Friggin' Metroid. Like, people are into it, and we all hold these games near and dear to our hearts, and that's the thing that they don't seem to understand. And I know that their approach is, well, if you want to play that badly on a device in your hand, go spend $100 for the device in your hand. Mm. But I'm not going to do that, and I know very few people who actually do.
Correct.
I agree.
You know, just on the odd chance that Mr. Iwata is listening to the show, Iwata Okakama, today, みんなたちがマリオがやりたいとゼルダがやりたいの iPhone と iPad としか、そしてプリーズお願いします、クリエイトしますでしょ、でいっぱいお金出したら早くすれ、ありがとう。
Well,
I just let him know.
No, dude,
I think that was based, Doc condensing me into Japanese.
Based on the amount that audio broke up, he's probably just doubled his bodyguard. I want to talk about Ian Ross, because Ian Ross, you won last night. We did the prize giveaway for the Mac goodie bag where we went to Macworld. I got all that stuff for you, and it's in the bag down to my right here. It's absolutely super gorgeous. It's full of absolutely wonderful stuff, covers for your iPhone and all that kind of stuff. We did a random draw last night, and you won, mate. Ian Ross has won the thing. So all I need from you, Ian, is your address, and I will post it to you, and you'll have all the swag that I sent through. And I'd appreciate a picture back off you so that we know that you won it, and I'm not cheating.
Because Doc wasn't here for it. Doc, what he's giving away is his Macworld speaker bag and all its contents, and he put in some other stuff.
Yeah.
Wow, that was a good speaker bag.
It was like $300 worth.
Yeah.
And the Scotty Vest hat.
Yeah, the Scotty Vest hat's in there. There's a 12 South iPad stand, MacBook Pro stand as well. There's a ton of stuff in there. The free prize giveaway is every month. Now, it's sponsored by the Network Union. Now, they're the people that provide the bandwidth into the house, so please support them for that purpose. But they've also given us $85 a month now on the Patreon thing. They won't be eligible to win the prize because they're not having 85 entries into the competition. this is a free prize draw. Every month, if you're a Patreon subscriber, something cool will be given away to you, okay?
And the drawing is that your entry into the drawing is this: you get the same number of entries in the Patreon drawing as you are donating to Patreon. So if you give $1 a month, you get one entry. If you give $5 a month, you get five.
Right on, Kelly. There you go. And as you can see, David Walker's name appears on this picture quite a lot. That's because David Walker gave us quite a lot of money last month.
And there you go.
He unfortunately got stung for his regular donation to the PayPal account, and he got stung for the Patreon donation as well. So he ended up with $25 worth of contribution, and he got 25 entries in the draw, and he still didn't win. So Ian won. But thank you, David. Your contribution is invaluable. Absolutely wonderful. If you'd like to...
Thank
support us, then go to patreon.com/BritishTechNetwork and give us whatever you can afford. If it's only a dollar, that's fine. That's great. Thank you very much. If you're suggesting that the podcasts that we provide for you are worth 60 pence a month to you, that's fine by me. If you're saying they're worth £3 a month to you and you give us $5, thank you very much. If it's $20, then thank you very much. I appreciate anything that you can give us. And
Every little bit is appreciated.
Absolutely. It doesn't go into booze. The Cobra that I'm drinking here was not paid for by your Patreon subscriptions. It goes into new tech. It goes into microphones to send out to regular guests so that we've got good audio from them and stuff like that. It's not stuff that we're frivolously throwing away.
Yeah, it's all the boring stuff that you never think about when you're not somebody who does a podcast, like having a decent microphone, having a decent camera, making sure there's bandwidth, making sure there's a reasonable background behind you, that the room is...
Based on the trouble we've had this afternoon, that wasn't a very good thing to say, really, Kelly.
But if you are only a listener to a podcast, all you need for that is not even headphones. You don't really need anything for that except something that will play a file. So a lot of times people who are just listeners don't always know how much stuff goes into the back end with varying degrees of success from time to time. So I'm just going to point out, like, you know, having a new microphone will make a dramatic difference in somebody's podcast ability, or having reliable bandwidth, or having a new camera. Because, like, I bought this camera, the camera that I'm using.
Kelly, the advert's only got a minute in the schedule.
And just say, the only part that, like, the camera that I have, I bought to do this show. And it's so that I have a good video feed. And that's a lot of stuff that people don't always consider. So that's all.
Thank you, mate. Oh, I appreciate that.
I'm pitching.
Yeah, no, I agree. Great. Please support us. Go to patreon.com and do it. And the other thing you can do is unsubscribe and resubscribe to us in your iTunes feed. If you don't subscribe to us in iTunes, please do. Please give us a review as well, a written review, not just a star review. Mm-hmm. Say whatever you want. We'll read out the bad ones as well as the good ones. It's not a problem. And if you've got any negative...
If you listen to the show, you know we read them all.
And if you've got any negative things to say, put them in a PS to Adam, okay? Now, the other thing we've got to talk about... And the other thing we've got to talk about is really exciting. Hello? Bash. Because it's definitely happening. We're all ready to go. There will be a banner up this weekend on the website, and you'll be able to buy your tickets this weekend. What are you doing on the 11th and 12th of July? Because on the 11th of July, all you've got to do is turn up at 5 p.m. at the Kismet Curry House. Having given us a £10 deposit, there will be a meal there for you. And the £10 will come off the total price for all of us. Last year, we met at the pub over the road and then came over to Kismet. And Kismet have said, well, I tell you what, we've got a function room. Why don't you go in the back in the function room? We'll bring you all the beer that you want to drink, and we'll throw in a whole pile of starters that you can sit and nibble on while you're waiting for your main course, and stand out in the garden, which the garden's only about 4.5 foot wide. So, but it'll be there. And we'll have a great time, and we'll have a great curry evening. And it's also my son's birthday. So I was an absolute idiot, because when we couldn't get the venue for the bash on the other side, I said, I'll just push you back a week. And they said, that's fine, no worries. And I didn't realise that it was Ellis's birthday. So on the 11th of July, it's Ellis's birthday. Please bring him a card, because he'd be over the moon, because I've ruined his birthday. And that's also then...
My wife's birthday.
Okay. And on the 12th of July, it's the main event, the Bash. Now, it was £20 last year, and it's £25 this year. The reason it's £25 is because we had sponsors last year who helped pay for it, and there's no sponsors this year at the moment. If we get some sponsors and there's money I can give you back on the day, I'll give it you back on the day, I promise. But it's £25 for a ticket. Anyone who's under 16 gets in free of charge. But for that £25, what you're doing is not buying a ticket to an event. This isn't Glastonbury or something like that. There's no bands on. I'm just giving you all your food and beer, and you're helping to pay for the day with everyone else. So there's no money that gets pocketed. All the money will be spent on fun and entertainment and great stuff. And I've lost the feed probably because everything's gone really, really quiet. So Kelly's coming back, which is nice. Hello, Kelly. Thanks for coming back, mate.
Bronwyn wants to know if your cat's chewing on Ethernet cable.
It could well be. I'm utterly lost. It's only Friday afternoons that go... The Bash, yeah. Anyway, so 12th of July is the Bash. It's £25, and the curry night is the night before. There'll be a banner go up that looks like the one that I'm showing on the video feed now.
You
Adam's back. And all... Hello, Adam. And all you've got to do is go and buy your tickets. Now, we're not doing the same as last year where you have to buy, you have to click 25 times if you want 25 tickets. All you've got to do is click open, put on your message that you want 25 tickets and put the corresponding amount in and I'll know you want 25 tickets, whatever it is. Okay. So there
you
go.
Very nice.
It'll be on the 11th and 12th of July. It's definitely happening. It will be loads and loads of fun and there'll be tons and tons of stuff to do, I promise. And it's a family-friendly event. Although we'll all be drinking, there will be fun and games for all the family. Aaron Clayton last year bought some space hoppers, which turned out to be the best thing since sliced bread. So we may even do the Space Hopper Grand Prix again because it was so good last time. And Batwench has already designed her dress. Can't wait to see what it is.
I feel like I need to come see it just for that.
Do it. Do it. Get your ass over here, girl. It'd be good fun.
Well, if somebody would hire Kelly, then it would. Then I could start putting money back in that pile. So.
Adam and Doc are having a right old game here. I think the show's going to finish up with me and Kelly in a moment. Let's do.
You have an incoming call from Adam Christensen.
What? So, okay, I keep saying this in the chat, so I'm going to say it here. One of the upcoming Patreon giveaways is going to be me recording your voicemail.
This podcast and all the other aberrations that we push out every week is sponsored by UK2. They're the ones that give us the servers. So they're the ones that when you try and watch live and you can't because the bandwidth in my house has just gone to crap and everyone else's house, they're the ones that make sure you can at least watch the video feed that I record. So please support them. They're fantastic. It doesn't matter where you are as well in the world. You could be in Hawaii, you could be Portland, you could be California, you could be anywhere you like. You can still buy UK2 services. You can still get 20% off your domain names and tons of other stuff. The server that they give us each month has got unlimited bandwidth and it's got unlimited storage. So every show we've ever produced is on that server and you can go back as far as you like. You can find every show we've ever produced and listen to it. Debbie McGee's Five of Spades is one that's an absolute corker. I'd have a listen to that if I were you. And that was back in the Bagel Tech days. UK2 are the ones that host that spot for us. The server they give us would cost us £400 per month. So they remove costs from us. Thank you very much, UK2. Please, please, please support them because they're bloody marvellous. They've been around for 4 years and they're going to be around for a lot longer yet, I think. Right, I've gone to a blank shot. That's really topped it off nicely, hasn't it?
Cheers.
Cool things. Adam, let's see if we can hear what you're saying when you goo the cool thing. If you can't, then switch your video off, mate.
I don't. Can you hear me at all? The packet loss is huge. Packet loss is huge over on this end.
Is it from is it from your end or from our end?
I did a bandwidth test. I'm getting 62 megabits per second up and
up
20 or 12, 13 down. So I don't know why you're not getting the packets.
Skype the bastards.
Talk quick before we lose you again.
Well, switch your video off and just go for audio and tell us what your cool thing is, man.
I don't know if that's even going to help. Is it going to help?
A little bit.
We'll try. So my cool thing is something that I've been ranting about on Twitter the last couple of days because this was something that got a lot of buzz about a year ago. It was a Kickstarter project, and I had no idea the app had finally released. It's a...
darn.
Yeah,
no.
I'm going to do Pixel Press. No, this one's totally mine. I've been promoting the heck out of this thing and nobody's picked it up. So everybody needs to get this. I did just find out that it's iPad only, but it's called Floors by Pixel Press. And what it is, is it's a thing that you print out a little PDF with like graph paper grid that they give you. And it has three different sort of levels. And you use the graph paper and a little legend to draw your own iPad games. And then what you do is after you've drawn all the levels, you make like a side scroll platformer kind of game, 2D. You draw the little platforms and you draw the obstacles and you draw the little coins and the power-ups and all the sort of stuff. And then you snap a picture with your iPad. Right now it is iPad only. And unfortunately, it looks like it doesn't support the iPad mini, the non-retina display one right now for the camera. But you can in the app. Actually, just draw. It has drawing tools.
You can also draw in the app aside from on paper. So here's the thing that Adam isn't bringing across is that, and I know because I wrote this up over on Mac Observer, you don't have to be able to draw a coin in order to get a coin in the game, you draw a little plus in the graph square. And then the game, when you take the picture, the game mechanics translate the little pluses into coins, right, and the other symbols into other things. And they do it automatically for you. So all you have to be able to draw, this is why this is so near and dear to my heart. All you have to be able to do is draw some pretty basic straight line things like an symbols. X or a plus.
Because Kelly and can't right draw shit. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I can't draw. I can't draw my way out of a wet paper bag.
Good girl.
And the game transforms all of it for you, and that's why it's very exciting to me that this is a thing. Because when I was a kid and tried to draw my own video game levels, it always sucked.
Right. Yeah. So you're basically, if you ever played D&D and drew maps, that's what you're drawing.
Yeah. Mac Vader in the chat room says the thing is I'm not great at drawing, but that's exactly the point Kelly's making. You don't have to be.
Yeah. You snap the picture and then it converts and it does all the programming for you. And you just have to say, this is a platform. This is a dropping platform. This is a little sliding platform. This is where the lava pit is. This is where the little portal is. And it is incredible.
Then you get to play it.
And then you get to play it and share.
Kids would love this because my lad loves creating stuff that's... You know, he draws it, like he'll draw out games, like he likes playing Rome Total War, and he'll draw out things on paper that he wants Rome Total War to be, but it can't be, because it isn't. So
now he can.
Now he can. But yeah. it's,
and you can share them with your friends. So, like, if he draws a level that he is particularly proud of, he can share it with somebody else who's also playing the game.
Oh, man.
And swap levels and amongst people. Like, it's terribly exciting.
It's free right now for lunch.
Oh, mate.
There's a couple of in-app purchases for extras if you don't need them. So if you want, it's like an M, and it's like only like 9 cents or $1.99 for the extra power-ups. I think the power-ups you can get like packs and some other sorts of power-ups. But totally, totally worth it.
Okay.
I would pay $50 for this game. This app.
It's awesome. And I love that the whole start of it was when they were kids, they were talking about, like, we used to draw levels of video games, but like once you draw it, you can't really do anything with it. And so they built a thing so that you can draw a level and then get to play it.
And what I particularly like about it being a developer is it teaches that whole concept of, well, a lot of different concepts. So, you know, just coming up with a storyline and coming up with testing and then iterating, right? Going through that whole process of designing, developing, programming, testing, and then retesting, adjusting, that sort of stuff. So you can really go back and forth with it and walk through that process. So it's awesome on just so many levels. And everybody,
you can make a great looking level, but it might be impossible to win. You might, you know, it might be too hard. You have to be able to make adjustments. I love it.
Excellent.
That's awesome.
Well done. Thank you. I just want to say as well, with the Patreon thing, we've got a great giveaway next month. This month's giveaway is MacPaw Software have given us 3 licenses of Clean My Mac 2, and I've got 5 licenses for every computer that I've got that's active in my house because it's absolutely brilliant. So you cannot miss that one if you've got a Mac. And also I've got 3 licenses for Hyder 2 to give away. They'll be going too. And the other thing that we've got is this thing here. This is a photograph that was taken by Ian Lewis. Now, Ian Lewis, if you don't follow him on Twitter, you should. Ian Lewis Photography. He's the best landscape photographer I've ever seen. I think he's absolutely stunning. I love his work, and he's brilliant. And he took a picture of a leaf, which came out pretty well, I think you can see. Even though it's on the green screen, it came out all right, eh? Not too bad. And he's had it made into a jello skin. He's bought 2 of them for his iPad Air, but he sent one to us. So that is also... Ian, thank you so much, mate. That's really kind of you. This is in the giveaway next month. So if you own an iPad Air, then you could win this. Now, I'm not going to do a draw from the... just from everyone who gives us Patreon subscriptions. If you're a Patreon subscriber and you've got a MacBook Air, send me an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com that says, I've got an iPad Air. And I'll enter you in the draw and you'll get this. Because I don't want someone to win this who hasn't got an iPad Air. Because that's just a waste of something that is absolutely beautiful. And of course, you get the image that goes on the screen that makes it look like the whole thing is... Do you know what? Stuff it. I'm going to keep that for myself. We're not having a competition. The more I look at it, the more I want to go, bollocks, you're not having it. Now, that is a giveaway on this month's competition as well, as so please write in and say that you have an iPad Air if you're a Patreon subscriber. If you're not a Patreon subscriber, patreon.com/BritishNetwork. Thank you. Now then, Doc, we have a thing called the cool thingy. Do you have a cool thing for us?
Well, yes, I do. I didn't know.
I think I need to drop off.
Yeah, I got to drop off. Can I give mine real quick?
Oh, okay. The only person with bandwidth is going to do their cool thing.
Yeah, because I got to bail.
I'm going to drop off too.
All right, mate. No worries.
Okay. Bye, Adam. So, Hearthstone Heroes of Warcraft. This is probably the only Warcraft game I'm ever going to play. It's a customizable card game, but you play it on your iPad, and it's super fun. I don't know if you guys have covered this or not on the Gamer Show. I would imagine so, because Warcraft. But it's a lot of fun, and the more you play, the more cards you get, and then you can customize your deck so that you can play with different cards, and you know, sometimes you will totally win and sometimes you will totally get your butt kicked, but either way, like, I want to keep playing it, and I'm not a person who generally has a lot of patience for stuff like that, but I find it a lot of fun, and I think it's a really good game to play. You can purchase additional cards or card packs if you want to within the game and in-app purchase, but you also accumulate cards by winning matches against other people. You do need a BattleNet account in order to use it if you want to play against other people in your BattleNet list. But it's a lot of fun. And like I said, the game is free, but you can buy additional cards if you want to. But you also accumulate them at a reasonable pace without having to pay anything. So far, I haven't paid for it at all, and I'm still having a good time with it. So that's my pick this week.
Excellent pick, Mrs. Thank you very much for your time. I do appreciate you've got a call to go off to.
Sure. Yeah, and I will talk to all of you guys later. Have a good week. Cheers.
Thanks, mate. Doc, just you and me, dude.
Cool. Maybe it will actually behave itself.
Well, maybe we got some bandwidth finally.
Normally, I'm complaining to Kelly that her bandwidth is sucking, and Dave, she's killing it bandwidth.
What have you got for us as a cool thing, sir?
Okay, so there's a cool company called Radius Networks, and what Radius Networks is, the creators of iBeacon and iBeacon software. So they have something called a Radius Tech, like, little beacon, and it's a small USB dongle, not dissimilar from what you would use for like a Logitech mouse, and you can plug this into anything that has power, be a computer or like an iPhone charger, and stick it somewhere in your room, and you can get a 3-pack for about $150. You can set up a small little set of iBeacons around your house. And what's really cool though is they come up with something called Beacon Wiki or Wiki Beacon. I forgot which direction, but what it allows you to do is there's an app for your phone, and the app is called Locate Beacon, right? Let me double check to make sure. Yep. I said that correctly. And what happens, you go in there and you press the button that says Locate Beacons, and as you're walking around your neighborhood or walking around the shopping center, you can actually go out there and see what retailers actually have beacons in the area. The other cool thing that it does is it allows you to temporarily turn your phone into an iBeacon. So if you're just wanting to play with this so you can figure out, you know, what you may or may not want to do with iBeacons, it gives you an opportunity without going out and buying any fancified hardware to be able to play with iBeacons. So you and a couple of friends, multiple devices, you can set it up and run some demos. So I think the thing is, everyone's hearing about it, but they're not really getting a chance to see it work real, or don't know like what kind of cool stuff you can do with it, like turning off lights and show distances from certain things. This will give you a chance to play with that, especially if you do any monkeying around with the iOS dev kit. Now, also, Radius Network has a software that's about $10 on their site that allows you to turn your Mac into a beacon. So if you don't have two iOS devices, you can always do the Mac one. But it's kind of cool, and I'm kind of messing around with it because I host really big block parties here in the islands, and I'm trying to figure out a way to do some scavenger hunting. And so Radius Network
beacons
really
would be cool for that, yeah.
Yeah, right? And if you just get the app, one thing that allows you to do is report beacons in your neighborhoods. So on WikiBeacons, they are building a network, like a crowdsource network of where all the beacons are all around the globe. So that's it. WikiBeacons is kind of
good, man. Good pick.
And Radius Network is pretty awesome.
I want to give a shout-out to the London Mac User Group as well before I do my cool thing. The London Mac User Group meet every month in London. Now then, there's two things going off. First thing is Monday night this week. If you're available in London, then get yourself to the Old Explorer Pub, because if you fancied seeing what my talk was at Macworld and you didn't get to see it, I've had permission from Macworld Expo to deliver that talk at the London Mac User Group on Monday night. So it's a one-time only thing. I've got permission to do it, and you've got to be at the Old Explorer Pub at 6 p.m. on Monday night. But if you'd like to see it, even if you're not a member of the London Mac User Group, it's not a problem. Get yourself down there and come in, say hello to everyone, join in. It's a fantastic bunch anyway. You'll have a good time. And you'll get to see the talk that I did at Macworld, which is the only place you'll get to see it. And the other thing is, the London Mac User Group is doing a keynote event on the 2nd of June. So when Tim stands up at WWDC to do his thing, they've got the London Transport Museum in Covent Garden hired out, and they've got a 25-foot screen in there, which the keynote will be presented on. And also, we're going to do a live podcast from there, so British Tech Network will be there doing a podcast, getting feedback from people as we go around, looking at the chat room and seeing what you guys want to say, as well as... because they've got good Wi-Fi there as well, which is great. So, two things. There you go. Get yourself to the Old Explorer Pub on Monday night at 6 p.m. and you can see the talk that I gave at Macworld. And if you get yourself on the 2nd of June to the London Transport Museum, you can go and watch the live keynote coverage with Mac User Group, and then we'll all go out for a beer and dinner afterwards, which would be absolutely fantastic. It'll be a great, great night. So, check that out as well as. My cool thing is live stream TV, because it's held up really, really well. at the moment, it says on the screen it's stopping desktop grabbing, which means that we're not broadcasting anything at all. I have no idea why it's gone this bad, and they've got $500 of my money, so I will be having severe conversations with them. I've just done a speed test on speedtest.net, and I've got 114 meg down, and I've got 15 meg up, so it's not my end, I'm afraid. You can get hold of Adam at the Maccast, of course, at Maccast on Twitter. And if you go to the Maccast, you'll find it on Google, and it'll be the best podcast you've got for Mac on an ongoing basis, because it's actually researched and done properly. Kelly, you can get the Mac Observer as well. She's got a great article on net neutrality that I may not agree entirely with, but it's still a well-written article. And you can get at Verso on Twitter. Doc, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
I am at Doc Rock on Twitter, or you can just check me out on the unofficial Apple weblog. Every Tuesday, we do a show called Ask to All, and that's where you call in and you say, you know, my Wi-Fi is not acting right. How do I fix it? Or my iPhone is, like, pretending to be an Android. How do you fix it? You know, so we kind of cover help, I guess. We're, like, live tech support every Tuesday on the Google Plus, and that's 5 p.m. Eastern time.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. And we'll be back next week, and I'll hopefully have sorted out why it was so bad. The thing that gets me is, on Thursday nights, which is like prime time for internet, you'd say, well, that's when it's going to crap out. But it never does. It craps out at 3 o'clock on a friggin' Friday, and I don't know why. No idea why. We'll get to the bottom of it. There we go. Drunken, sweary host, out.